We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
The following is a presentation of Learfield. Welcome to Doc Insider.
Our whole athletic department, there's a level of expectations of success.
Throw, catch, touchdown, Oregon.
He can run and slam.
Back out for a three. Left wing is good.
In the air to center. Back at the wall. It's out of here.
Really excited that we get to rep our Ducks.
And hopefully come back to Eugene with some championships.
Indoor track and field national champion.
Oregon repeats as the Pac-12 champion.
And for the fourth time in the last 6 years, the Ducks are Pac-12 champions.
We have so many teams that are excelling right now, and it's really fun to be a part of.
This is Doc Insider on the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield, presented by On Point Community Credit Union. Better banking, local solutions. Live from the Country Financial Studio, here's Joey Mack.
Hello, everybody. It is a Thursday edition of the show. Tomorrow will be an early edition of the show. We're going to do it live from 11 a.m. to noon because we got a plane to catch down to Southern California where the Ducks will take on UCLA at 12:30 kickoff on Saturday. It's going to be on ABC. We'll have a 10:30 pregame show across the Oregon Sports Network. Always can sync it up with Jerry and Jorgie on the call. I'll be running around on the sidelines, and it's supposed to be beautiful. 69 degrees and sunny at kickoff in Pasadena. We're going to hear from Kayvon Thibodeau today, and as we speak live in the 1 o'clock hour, today, the Ducks men's basketball team is meeting with the media. Davion Harmon, Will Richardson, and Dane Altman. We'll have some of those highlights from that for you tomorrow and probably throughout next week as we get ready for basketball season. Joining us again, Sean McPherson's here, ladies and gentlemen. Sean?
Pleasure to be here.
Hey, thanks for being here. So Sean has been running around doing interviews with various players for us for Oregon football all week long. And then we're going to hear from a lot of those guys today. Kayvon Thibodeau being one of them. Jalen Redd being another. Anthony Brown. We're going to hear from all those guys. And then earlier today, I also got a chance to catch up with the voice of the Bruins, Josh Lewin. So get your notebook ready, because when you go down to L.A., Josh gave you the full scouting report of the Bruins, all right?
Pretty good team, right?
Yeah, not bad.
Not bad.
Number 9 in the country in rush defense. I think that gets overlooked. You have a Chip Kelly coach team, and everybody likes to think about the offense, Sean, but I think their defense for the Bruins is pretty good.
Really good, really experienced. I mean, just all sorts of upperclassmen on that defense. It's going to be a tough battle for the Ducks. And I think Oregon, if they can stop the run And if they can run the ball themselves, I think they're going to be in a good spot. And if they can pass the ball themselves, I mean, we can break down this game throughout the show, but if they can pass the ball themselves, that's one of the Bruins' weaknesses. They do not have a very good passing defense.
Yeah, and, you know, when you're really, really good against the run, I think a lot of teams will throw against you, and I think that at times is what's happened. And also, if you have a performance like a Jake Haener, the Fresno State quarterback, did against the Bruins, that those numbers go up. I mean, these are the things in football that drive coaches mad, right? Because you do one thing, and then the other team counters, and that's just how this works, right? But I think in Oregon's case, I totally agree with you, Sean. Got to be able to stop the run. And I actually think one of the guys who's pivotal in that is Kayvon Thibodeau. Now, we all think about him as a pass rusher, but I think he's taken a big step forward as a run stopper. More on that in just a second, but some news for today. Coach Cristobal added to the Dot Award midseason award watch list. That is given to the best coach in the country. Mario Cristobal, the head coach for the Ducks, added to that midseason award watch list right now, which is pretty cool. That's coming out today, and I think he deserves it. With a 5-1 record, a top 10 ranking, Ducks are doing pretty good. Also, some basketball notes, Sean. If we can sneak in some basketball beforehand. Did you watch the Pacers game last night?
Oh, yeah.
Chris Duarte, ladies and gentlemen, 27 points and a Pacers rookie debut record. He hit, what, 6 threes? Pretty incredible for Chris Duarte. You surprised?
I was surprised. So I was surprised that he was starting. Because rookies don't start. That's not an everyday thing that a rookie's starting. So I remember texting my buddy saying, hey, Chris Duarte's starting right away. And then, boom, he's got double digits at the end of the first quarter. He ended up dropping 27 points last night.
Yeah, also Peyton Pritchard and his Celtics. That was quite the wild game in the NBA opener. Peyton played 11 minutes in that game. Yeah, Chris Duarte, though, 27 points. Pro Ducks, baby. You love to see it, as a bunch of other Ducks got their seasons going in the NBA. Also on the basketball front, Quincy Gurrier has seen his name now added to a Naismith Memorial Basketball Hall of Fame watch list, this time for the Karl Malone Power Forward of the Year Award. So, Sean, that means that the Ducks have a preseason top 20 point guard, a preseason top 20 shooting guard, and a preseason top 20 power forward, because on the Bob Cousy Award watch list to start the season, Will Richardson. Davion Harmon on the Shooting Guard of the Year Award watch list. Jerry West Award. Chris Duarte won that award last year. 2 years ago, Peyton Pritchard won the Bob Cousy Award, and now the Ducks have Quincy Gurrier showing up on the Power Forward of the Year watch list. So that means that the Ducks have a top 20 player at three positions in their starting lineup.
Two of them transfers. Two of them are new faces that Duck fans are yet to see. One of them being Will Richardson, who's in his fourth year now for the Ducks. But Gurrier is going to be a really nice player for this team. He's going to provide some size. He's going to provide some length. And he's a guy that played a pivotal role for some really good Syracuse teams the last couple of years.
14 points per game, about 49% from the floor. He averaged 8.5 rebounds per game and over one block per game at Syracuse. Those are the numbers that the Ducks are getting from him. All right, let's go back to football. Kayvon Thibodeau talked with the media for a long time, Sean. You went through and I listened to the whole interview, and now we're about to play it for everybody else, because Kayvon Thibodeau, well, he's a difference maker, and he met with the media this week.
That second half, is that kind of your best? Is that just what this defense could look like with this defense fully healthy and everyone on the field as best as they can be?
No, I feel like we got a lot more in the tank. I feel like we still haven't played our best football. And we're still preparing. You know, we still got to get better. It's only the midway through the season, so we feel like, you know, if we want to really take that next jump, we just got to continue to grow.
Where's that next jump? What areas are you seeing that you can improve?
Just cleaning up the finer details, gap fitting, really form tackling, you know, doing everything that we can to pressure the quarterback and kind of just do the little things.
Is it kind of crazy to think you haven't been able to play a full game yet all season? Like, whether it's targeting, whether you believe it or not, or having to sit out the first half of the Cal game, just halfway through the year, and you haven't been able to show a full game yet?
I mean, they happen the way they did. I think we're just, me personally, I'm just focused on, you know, trying to stay healthy and keep fighting for the rest of the season.
How do you feel now, just that you got full games ahead of you in that respect?
I feel good. I feel like we got a lot in the tank. I'm happy to really put it all together. You know, I feel like there are a couple games where that real leadership was missing or lacking. But, you know, even though I tried to make it up on the sideline, but it's nothing like really being with the team and being able to, you know, rally together when, you know, the time is needed.
You've been a mentor to Brayden, you know, dating back into the offseason here. To have him back, I'd imagine, is probably not only a nice boost for this defense, but also kind of for you as well, having a guy that you've connected that much with on that line.
Yeah, I mean, just we've been, you know, really cursed with a lot of injury this season. And I feel like, you know, having people back is kind of the best thing for us. And, you know, he's a great player, so having him being able to contribute and, you know, pressure the quarterback and set the edge, it, you know, it's, it, it really helps us.
Can you expand just a bit on the mental aspect of that? Because, you know, when you do have that amount of injuries to different players kind of back-to-back-to-back, I'd imagine there's a grind there coupled with some really good relief when you do get those guys back.
Yeah, I feel like there's been, you know, inconsistent, really first team, which makes it kind of hard to really gel together and build that team chemistry. So having to plug a lot of different guys in has kind of messed up the chemistry that we had going into the season. But I feel like, you know, moving forward, us being back and even the younger guys stepping up has really been contributing to it.
Along those lines, what does it say about this team's resiliency that through all the injuries, you guys are still in control of winning the Pac-12 for a third straight year?
We just keep fighting. I feel like Coach Cristobal has a great plan. The way we practice, the way we play, it's really hard, and we kind of prepare for the worst.
What's your role when you are a guy that is kind of in and out with an injury? You're such a focal point for this defense as a player and leader, and you try and exercise that leadership in certain ways, but I'd imagine it's harder to do sometimes when you're not on the field for certain spurts.
It's definitely harder, but, you know, being a guy who knows the ins and outs of the game, I'm able to even see it even more on the sideline. So being able, you know, during the game when they come out to the sideline, giving them the tips and giving them the tricks that'll help them, and even in practice, kind of walking people through more stuff that they would need, you know, if need be, I'm not there.
Has that helped you at all, just being able to see the game a little bit differently from the sidelines and maybe know something different when you do get out there?
Well, the greatest, I think the greatest players are the greatest teachers. So, you know, if you are able to articulate the game to somebody else, it'll help you in the long run.
Last play against Cal. When you got the call, knew what you were going to do, pretty excited. I mean, was it all out blitz, wasn't it, pretty much, or what was it?
The last play of the game, yeah, it was something of that nature. I mean, I didn't really expect them to cut block, but I knew the quarterback was going to run it, so I tried to really cut down that rush angle, and, you know, it ended up being a cut block, so it kind of made for my rush angle to be right on, and, you know, it just came to us, and luckily my team was able to rally and make the tackle and, you know, get the stand.
So it came over late, but just what has the last 6 weeks been like mentally for you?
They've been good. I've been able to grow. I've been able to get better in the things that I've, you know, lacked in, the things that you kind of overlook. I've been able to really find who I am within this team and how I could, you know, still contribute even though I'm not on the field.
You addressed criticism of some kind. Did you hear it, see it? Was it just perception of it about NIL and not being on the field? But you addressed that. You just voiced it.
Well, I never criticism doesn't come to you directly when you're doing everything right. You know, it's always speculation, you know, from the back. So for me, it's not really that I was addressing criticism. For me, it was more trying to change the narrative. You know, one thing I've always talked about is kind of controlling the narrative and controlling the light that I shine. So, you know, being able to be who I am and kind of show people the way that I'm doing it and how I want to do it, you know, I don't think anyone can really stop it. I just got to make sure that it's still, you know, we're still keeping the main thing the main thing.
Sorry if you asked this, but just going through the first half, now they don't play, what was it like that? And what was it, how much energy do you feel like you had kind of caged up to unleash after halftime?
I don't feel like it was a lot of energy. I just knew that once my time came, I was going to have to step up and play. I tried to stay poised and really kind of, you know, contribute to the team, but keep them level-headed because you never want to get too high or too low. So just being able to really get back out there in the second half just kind of gave me that pep in my step back to you know, that I'm really out here.
I guess there's a risk you could try to do too much.
Yeah.
So you were on guard against that,
trying to stay in control. Yeah, mentally. Yeah. You know, when you're on the sideline and even when I did pregame warm-ups, you don't want to get too fluctuated. You don't want to get too hyped because then you crash and then you got to get back up mentally. So it was like just being able to stay level-headed and get in and just know the job that I have to do.
That length of a goal line stand, I mean, is that something you've experienced before in the football field, having to defend that many plays that backed up like that?
I think we probably did something like that Washington 2 years ago.
Yeah.
If I could remember at Washington. But just, you know, I loved it. I mean, for me, it was just being out there and seeing everybody on their feet and just seeing the crowd really into it. It kind of gave me that surreal moment of like, wow, like this is really why we play, and being able to come back. And I wasn't even mad when they got the first down or whatever happened, but just being able to keep playing and knowing that whatever happens, we just got to fight to the end.
Trevor Mize has been a guy that, a few out and other guys out, he's played a lot and he's done well. What have you just seen from him and just his development?
I mean, he's done a lot better. You know, coming into the season, he didn't know if he was going to play a lot. So me and Nace Fulner just trying to keep his head in the game and keep a lot of guys head in the game, that no matter how the season starts, you never know. And it's always the next man up mentality. So just being ready and keep preparing like you are, you know, about to start. And when his time came, you know, he was able to make plays and do what he's done. Setting the edge, being more confident. You know, one thing about playing football is you got to play with confidence to be able to really show which your ability. So his confidence has really been up. His play recognition has went up. And, you know, the next step for him is probably communicating, learning those in between the lines. But I think he's done a great job, and, you know, he's going to keep growing.
Talk a little bit about your development as a run stuffer and what's going to be key for you guys to limit those backs.
You know, making the gap smaller, our second end coming up and filling in holes and just being able to, you know, keep them in a box.
You've faced dual-threat quarterbacks before throughout your career. What does DTR bring to the table that might be a little bit different?
Say it again, I'm sorry.
What is Dorian Thompson-Robinson bring to the field that may be a little bit different than even some of the mobile quarterbacks you've played before?
Their game plan. I feel like UCLA has a really unorthodox game plan, and I feel like they try to throw a lot at you to get your eyes in different places and, you know, kind of make you feel like there's more. It's more complicated than it really is. So if we're able to just play with good eyes and good technique, we'll be able to, you know, to work with it.
That being a lot of the multi-tight end and unbalanced.
The motions, the QB reads, the read options, just the different, you know, different plays. They give him a lot of leeway to do what he does and to show his ability. So just being able to use good eyes and good feet and good hands is going to help us a lot.
Good eyes, good feet, good hands. I feel like that applies to more than just football. Football's like a dance. Scott says it's like life. You never know what you're going to get on Duck Insider when you're listening to Kayvon Thibodeau talk. Sean, though, I think that he brings up a really good point. UCLA, with that offense, they do a lot of different motion. And, you know, on the other side, UCLA does a lot of motioning on defense, too. I think that's why they found a lot of success. They do a lot of creative things on both sides of the ball.
So I was mentioning their defensive experience earlier in the show. Do you know how many starts combined their five offensive linemen have?
Not as many as Oregon's offensive line did a few years ago. It's
83.
Close.
83 career starts among the five offensive linemen. So Kayvon Thibodeau is going to have a little bit of a tall task. But what he did against Cal in that second half was so impressive. I mean, 11 quarterback pressures in one half after having to sit out the first half. And I think that was kind of the full, you know, that was the first kind of taste of Kayvon Thibodeau. He's dealt with so much adversity this year.
Well, to that point, this will be the first game, knock on wood, that the Ducks will have him for the entirety of the game.
Right.
Which is amazing to think about. All right, when we come back, we're going to get the scouting report from the other side. Earlier today, got a chance to sit down with Josh Lewin, the voice of the Bruins. The UCLA side of things next on the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield.
Dear Exit Strategy, no matter which Toyota you choose, there's an exit from the ordinary to match. See you soon, Toyota. Visit your local Toyota dealer or toyota.com today. Toyota, let's go places.
From the weight room to the classroom, on the field and off it, OnPoint proudly supports University of Oregon athletics because student athletes do so much more than bring us pride on game day. They bring our entire community together in Eugene and all across Oregon. So whether you're watching the game in the stadium, at home, or at your favorite local business, their success makes all of us stronger. OnPoint Community Credit Union. Join in. OnPointCU.com. Federally insured by NCUA. Equal housing opportunity.
Dear Exit Strategy, no matter which Toyota you choose, there's an exit from the ordinary to match. See you soon, Toyota. Visit your local Toyota dealer or toyota.com today. Toyota, let's go places.
Don't go anywhere. Duck Insider continues after these messages on the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield.
Okay, forest animals, kids are coming to the forest, and it's up to us to make their visit a good one. Sparrow. Have you practiced the most popular bird songs for the year?
Of course.
Catchy. I like it. River, how's the temperature?
It's a refreshing 52 degrees, man.
I love it. Turtle.
He's not here yet, man.
He's late every morning. Okay. Squirrel.
The forest has been preparing just for you. To learn more about cool things to do in the forest, visit discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Tom has been a teacher for over 40 years. One day, I think one of the students had asked the question and he didn't remember the answer. And I also noticed that he was letting his class out earlier than they were supposed to let out. I was really starting to worry.
Levi and I talked about how it would change our lives, but he was there beside me.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. Visit alz.org/ourstories to learn more. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Duck Insider, presented by On Point Community Credit Union. I'm Joey Mack in the Country Financial Studio. Kind enough to take some time out of his schedule is the voice of the Bruins, Josh Lewin. Josh, it's great to see you. It's going to be great to actually see you in person and not through a TV monitor or a computer screen. Now, how are things?
I was just thinking, Joey Mack, I haven't seen you live and in person in 2 years, so it'll be fun, and you're coming into a hornet's nest, which is great because usually that's where the Bruins end up at Autzen. So, you know, for you guys to come to that kind of pomp and circumstance and enthusiasm, that's something I'm really excited about showing you.
Well, hey, tell us about that. We've all seen what your athletic director, Martin Jarman's been putting out there about getting people to game day, getting people to the game. What is the vibe down there in Pasadena and in Los Angeles right now?
I mean, it's a very good vibe, and it helps the college game day is coming. It won't be actually at the Rose Bowl because, look, I mean, they do 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. West Coast time, and nobody's driving to Pasadena at 5 in the morning. That's just silly. So what they're going to do, and hopefully it works out, is they're setting up shop on campus. And, you know, UCLA students are not known for being the kind that get up at 6 a.m. and make signs. But you're right. The athletic director is saying this is a worthwhile thing. Let's show America what UCLA is all about. I'm sure it'll be fine. Hopefully the sun breaks through a little bit. That doesn't normally happen right away. I'm sorry about that. My phone is ringing, and I forgot to turn off my ringer. But they'll have enough cool things going on, no question about it, and everybody's fired up. I mean, look, it's Chip Bowl 3 as well, which I think Tostitos should sponsor, frankly. Chip hasn't had a chance to take on the Ducks here. He's done it twice, obviously, in Eugene and you know, didn't have wins. And, you know, one of the games, there were no fans there. So this one really feels a little different. And the fact that it's 5-2 against 6-1, it's going to be a great day.
Hey, we were talking about that this week, that, you know, the national storyline, I think, is still that it's the Chip Kelly matchup, you know, with College Game Day going there. Is that still a storyline that's talked about a lot in Los Angeles right now, Josh?
Yeah, I mean, keep in mind, and I'm not from L.A. I don't even live in L.A. I live in San Diego. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'm not the perfect person to talk about this. But I think the thing you always have to keep in mind is no matter how big UCLA things are, it's always like the ninth biggest thing going on in town.
Sure.
You know, I mean, the Dodgers, at least right now, at the time we're recording, are still alive. That may not be the case by the time this actually airs.
Right.
NBA season starting up right now, Lakers and Clippers, you know, that's a big deal. You know, if you're into hockey, if you're into soccer, those things are going on right now. The Chargers are having a great year. The Rams are the Rams. I mean, so it's a very crowded marketplace. USC is playing Notre Dame this weekend.
Right.
You know, so all of that said, there is as much fever as you could hope to have for UCLA football right now. Basketball may be a different animal because they're the number two team in the nation, and you know, that may get some people off their butts to come out and, you know, and actually care. But yes, you know, having College Game Day here, talking about the Chip connection, all that stuff is very much in play.
All right, I might sneak in a basketball question for you in just a little while, because I spent some time at practice this week, Josh, so I'm already excited about that. These are the two top 25 teams from the Pac-12 in Oregon and UCLA for basketball. We'll get to that in a second, but review the season for Duck fans. I mean, you touched on the record. UCLA's put together a nice year so far. What's been the season review so far for the Bruins?
Well, let me roll you back to last year when they were 3-4, and they lost those four games by a combined 15 points. You know, I mean, every single game, including the one up at your place. I mean, when Happel had the pick six right at the halftime horn, and the Bruins were driving to tie it or win it, and then just couldn't convert on fourth down from midfield. You know, they've been really close. And the two games this year, they really let one get away against Fresno State. And you guys saw live and in person how tough Fresno State is, although they freaking lost to Hawaii somehow, which kind of killed the whole vibe.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's the game where Jake Haener just went crazy, led a miracle fourth quarter drive where we forgot how to cover people. And, all right, you know, so that's the one that slips through your fingers, and you're like, you know, everybody gets one, right? And that was supposed to be the one. Then they had a horrible second half against Arizona State. That's the worst half they've had all year, and that cost them the game and maybe the division, as it turns out, because now they lose that tiebreak. Other than that, they've been really good. I mean, the run game is for real. They've got two senior backs who are just bulldozers in Brown and Charbonnet. Dorian Thompson-Robinson has been good, not great, and that's okay when you've got that run game like that. The defense sometimes forgets how to cover downfield, but the run defense has been really, really good. They've got some linebackers that can hit. So they're a legit 5-2, and you know the fact that the odds makers have the Bruins as the favorites in this game, you know, and here's Oregon's a top 10 team and went into Columbus and won. That I think tells you something.
Josh Loon, the voice of the Bruins, joining us. All right, we know what Chip's offense can do. The Duck fans are very familiar, and especially with a mobile quarterback like Dorian Thompson-Robinson. You mentioned he's been okay, but still quite the weapon, and he's finished games pretty well. I mean, the second best quarterback rating in the fourth quarter in the Pac-12, Josh.
Yeah, sometimes we talk about it on the air here that it's like a NASCAR. The guys get the hot lap, you know, that they get that one warm-up lap to just kind of get things going and get the feel of the track. Then they turn them loose. That's what DTR needs, because there's a lot of games where he starts out 0-4 or 1-8, and then, you know, the run game kind of bails him out and it's okay. But you're right, by the second half, it's like he picks it up and it's fine. If he has a game where two good halves and not one good half, look out. And he's had a couple of those. He had that against USC last year, went 30-36 with four touchdowns and ran for 100 yards. I mean, he's capable of that. I don't know against your linebackers if this is necessarily that game, but he's certainly capable of it.
You mentioned the run game. I think that this is probably the best running back tandem in the conference, especially with C.J. Verdell out, Josh. I mean, I was really excited with this one circled because you get Verdell and Dye going up against the tandem for UCLA, and it's unfortunate that's not going to be the case, but you touched on it. This is a legit running back tandem in the conference.
Yeah, and the Bruins are well aware that if it's just Dye all day, that's a problem, because he can do it. I mean, he showed that last week, and he's a weapon out of the backfield, we understand now, two catching passes. So, you know, I think the thing that I've learned is, look, Britton Brown only had three carries last week, so mm-hmm. It was almost like it was all Charbonnet. And there have been games where, I mean, the first two games of the year was Charbonnet that had three or four carries, and Brown was the starting back. So they're almost interchangeable, and I'm waiting for that game where they each get 15 carries. I don't know what we're going to see on Saturday, but they can both absolutely bring it.
Chip's had some good running back tandems in his career. We've been thinking a lot about Kenyon Barner, LaMichael James up in these parts, Josh, over the last week or so for the comparisons. How good as a tight end is Greg Dulcich? I love the way that he plays football.
Yeah, you know, he's put on weight, so I think he's kind of a George Kittle type, you know, or will be, you know, I mean, once he puts on just a little bit more weight, but he's a receiver first and foremost. I mean, the blocking is the thing that's now kind of a work in progress, and, you know, a guy like Cade Otton at Washington, who we just saw, you know, just so big and brawny and pushes you out of the way, but Dulcich on a seam route is money, you know, I mean, if he gets going, and the Bruins have had that for a while. Caleb Wilson, couple of years ago, you know, you just, if you forget to cover him, he'll just go over the middle on you, and he's got the speed to take it all the way.
Continuing the voice of the Bruins, Josh Loon. All right, to the defense, and I think that everybody wants to talk about the offense. That's kind of the nature of college football, especially when Chip Kelly's your head coach. But, Josh, you mentioned just how good this run defense has been. How good is it? I mean, put it into words, just how good is that run D?
Well, you know, last year they had Osa Odighizuwa, and he was that run plugger in the middle. He's gone on to the Dallas Cowboys. And Otito Obonya has stepped in, and he's done, I think, just as good a job, I mean, which is really saying something. So he's kind of the anchor. He's the guy to watch, you know, there's help. I mean, there are guys out there that are not quite as good, but very good. And the linebackers come up and run support very well. They move Bo Calvert to outside linebacker from inside linebacker this year, and that's made a real difference. He's the big tackles for loss guy, wearing number 33. So, they're competent for sure, and nobody's really had that huge run day on them yet, but obviously the Ducks have the capability of being that first team.
Easy question. Maybe not. Keys
I'll
to
be the
game.
To that.
Yeah, keys to the game.
Well, it's always turnovers, right? And, you know, Dorian has been really good this year. I mean, the last few years, not so much. I mean, he'd do weird, you know, he'd make that like 15-yard in reverse serpentine run trying to get away and then get sacked and fumbled, you know, or make that ill-advised throw off his back foot with his head turned. That's not happened this year. He's only turned it over three times. So I like that, but I don't necessarily trust that, you know. I mean, Oregon obviously takes the ball away from you. So I don't have the stat off the top of my head, but with Chip as the coach, it's just night and day. When they turn it over, they always lose. When they don't turn it over, they always win. So, to me, that's kind of an easy one. And you know, whoever's run defense is better, I think, ends up with the W.
All right, I have to get in a couple basketball
thoughts for you here before. I know football is it's on everybody's mind right now, but this is the number two team in UCLA and the number 13 team in the Ducks in the preseason poll. I wish that we could have gotten a few more matchups between these two teams last year, Josh. I think we all do. What is the vibe heading into the season after that great run last year for the Bruins basketball team?
Well, you know, after you guys came back on us, you know, in that rescheduled game, and you're right, it was such a problem just getting games in against you guys. I mean, you know, here I am watching on the Zoom, watching us in the layup line, and all of a sudden they're taking the teams off the court. What is going on over there? You know, so they lost their last four heading into the tournament last year. They were the last suitcase to be thrown onto the truck to go to Indianapolis. I mean, they barely made the tournament. They were the 68th team in. And they were one of the final four standings. So the fact that they're returning everybody and adding a five-star talent and adding a transfer from Rutgers, who's that rim protector they didn't have last year. You guys know about transfers from Rutgers and what they can do.
Right.
So Miles Johnston could be a difference maker defensively. The team chemistry is amazing. They've got a ridiculously tough schedule. You know, they play Gonzaga and Villanova right away. So, you know, they play two of the top four teams in the country immediately, but they're one of the top four teams in the country too. So by the time we see you guys, they'll either be number one or number 19, you know, depending on how those games go. But they're legit, and I know you guys are too.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to back in the pack in those matchups, because I think, Josh, you would agree, we're all Pac-12 fans until the conference season kicks in, because that just makes the entire tide rise, and then the Pac-12 yeah. looks a little bit better with some yep. of those resumes at the end of the year. January 13th, by the way. January 13th, we'll be in Los Angeles taking on, hopefully it's a couple top 10 teams in Oregon and UCLA. Josh, I can't thank you enough for the time. Looking forward to seeing you back at the Rose Bowl, and thanks for all the time, and good luck on the broadcast this weekend.
Can't wait to have you, buddy, and yeah, get up early, have yourself a breakfast burrito, and we'll kick it off at 12:30. It'll be fun.
Don't worry, I'll have a burrito the night before. I'll have a burrito probably after the game as well. That is the plan. Josh Lewin, the voice of the Bruins, thanks for joining us. When we come back, going to switch gears back to the Ducks, talk about the quarterback, Anthony Brown. We're going to hear from him next on the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield.
After 2 years of construction, my wife and I finally moved into our dream home. So when a bathtub fixture broke, causing major water damage, I was glad we had the home insurance protection we needed. How do you know your home is protected? Talk to a country financial rep like me, Nick Simon. We can help you understand your options and select coverages to meet your needs. Then if something happens to your home, you won't have any surprises. Need the right coverage for your home but not sure where to start? Visit TakeSimpleSteps.com or contact a local country representative.
From the weight room to the classroom, on the field and off it, OnPoint proudly supports University of Oregon athletics because student athletes do so much more than bring us pride on game day. They bring our entire community together in Eugene and all across Oregon. So whether you're watching the game in the stadium, at home, or at your favorite local business, their success makes all of us stronger. OnPoint Community Credit Union. Join in. OnPointCU.com. Federally insured by NCUA. Equal housing opportunity.
Duck Insider continues after this timeout on the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield.
Okay, man, this is your time. Maybe you didn't choose this, but you're here now. You're going to go out there and be an all-star caregiver. Cook, clean, be there emotionally and physically. You got to dig deeper. Drive them to physical therapy, doctor's appointments, because that's what caregivers do. Don't give up. Show the world that you're tougher than tough. Caregiving is tougher than tough. Find the care guides you need at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
To some, the sound of a baby babbling doesn't mean much. But that's not true. They're testing out vowels and consonants and trying different sounds. And by 12 months, their babbling is beginning to take on meaning. Especially if there's no babbling at all. Little to no babbling by 12 months or later is just one of the possible signs of autism in children. Learn more at autismspeaks.org. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Back on Duck Insider, presented by On Point Community Credit Union. Joey Mack along with Sean McPherson here in the Country Financial Studio. Sean, we're going to hear from Anthony Brown. That is a quarterback for the Ducks who has the best quarterback rating in the Pac-12 conference in the fourth quarter. But
as you'll hear him talking about, would like to get a little more consistent throughout the game as well. Maybe not have the Ducks with their backs up against the wall in the fourth quarter this time around.
Yeah, Mario Cristobal said it himself. He said the Ducks have been playing their best football when their backs are against the wall, but again, you wouldn't like it to be that way throughout the entire game. So a big performance coming up for Anthony Brown this weekend for sure.
Two of the most veteran quarterbacks in the conference that are going to be matching up with each other. Let's hear from the quarterback one, Anthony Brown.
After the touchdown run, it looked like you had a message to the crowd there. What did you say after that score, if you remember?
No message. It was a different feeling to score that touchdown, and ultimately it ended up getting us the win. So,
what was so different about that feeling?
We were down, tied it up, close game, and I don't know, the feeling was just intense at that point in time in the game.
Before those drives in the fourth quarter, you went over to Travis at one point. You talked to him pretty extensively. You went over to the O-line mm-hmm. another time. Just walk me through some of those conversations, what you were saying to your guys in the fourth quarter.
As a whole, we had to clean it up. Had a lack of discipline all over the place for me, everywhere else, and just taking ourselves out of scoring position a bunch of times. And we just needed to anchor down and get back to the basics and do what we do.
How, at the time, did you handle it? How do you feel like you've handled it since? Of just clearly you hear what the crowd was saying.
Only thing I heard was the booing on us not getting a third and long. But, I mean, other than that, I didn't hear anything else. I wasn't focused on it, so.
Yeah. But how do you handle when that happens?
Stay focused on what I'm supposed to be doing in the game, and ultimately you can't hear it.
Frustrating, though, like knowing you guys are a top-10 team. You're in the driver's seat to win the conference, and you actually win the game, and the offense is being booed. Is that frustrating at all to hear that? Or, like, how do you not focus on that, like you said? You focus on what you can control.
Honestly, focus on what you can control. They're not in here with us every day. I get their fans, and they have a right to whatever they want to say, their opinions and stuff like that. But they're not with us every day. They're not working with us every day, and ultimately we can't worry about that. We have to worry about what we can handle, control what we can control, and just keep progressing.
Anthony, not giving anything away, but do you actually practice taking snaps under center, and can you see how that might have been important on that last play of the game in the end zone?
No, we don't take snaps under center.
You know why? Discussed?
Okay. It's not a question for me to answer. So.
If anyone wants to talk, get them now. Your thoughts on UCLA, and just seems like they're going to bring pressure almost every time, and just what's it going to be like preparing for that?
It's a lot to prepare for. It's chaos. They bring a lot of things, and you really have to key into what they bring and what comes with it. Very physical defense, very physical defensive line, very active in the secondary, especially at linebacker. And they're a really good defense. They're coached well, and they play really hard. So we've been preparing for all the looks that we can possibly get and just honing in on them. So.
Does that create opportunities for big plays, though, if they're going to bring that many guys where there could be some?
It's always going to create opportunities when you bring a lot of people because their expectation is for it to get home. And we just got to know when they're hot, when we're not, and make the right reads and just execute.
Seeing Travis, just the game that he had last mm-hmm. one, especially being an option for you, you know, underneath just as in the pass game as well. How nice is it to have a guy that can be such an all-purpose player like that? And especially when you do face pressure, when there are certain coverages, like, you know, you've got kind of an underneath blanket there that he provides.
Yeah. Travis is a heck of a player. Something that I was expecting to happen from Travis, even since last year when I met him, him and CJ were always great together, and I always noticed that Travis, even though he was a smaller guy, he could do everything. He's willing to do everything. So just his performance on Saturday was no surprise to me at all. And it's comforting to have somebody like that.
Now you live with Devin, clearly have quite mm-hmm. a bit of chemistry with him off the field. This is the first week you're able to really consistently show it on the field. Mm-hmm. What was different about this week that you're able to turn to him in some pretty big spots and connect with him in some pretty big moments?
like you said, just being able to connect with them in some bigger moments, and even just regular moments at times too. Dev is a really good player, and he just needed some time to get on the field, get the reps, and just get comfortable. And he was very comfortable on Saturday or Friday night, which is a great thing for us.
Because
he just adds to the rest of the really good receivers we have in that room.
What have you seen kind of change with him in practice? Is something Coach Chris was alluded to? Is it seems like his level of practice has gone up a little bit?
Urgency, his practice intensity has picked up, and he's just becoming a really mature football player.
Any thoughts on playing in the Rose Bowl, an iconic venue and a place that Oregon's had a lot of success historically?
I hear it's a wonderful stadium, great venue. I'm excited to play there. Never been, not even for a game to watch. So pretty excited about it, and should be fun.
Jalen Red is really effective at anything he does, whether it's blocking like he did in Stanford, pancaking that guy. He's effective in the run game, and he threw that touchdown pass. So what, he's not the biggest guy either. Like, what makes him be able to be so good at so many things and yet not be have the measurables of all of that?
Jalen Red's heart is the size of Andre the Giant. His heart does not match the size he is on the field, and it's like it's incredible playing with him. He's a Swiss Army knife, and he does not care who you are, how big you are, how fast, strong you may think you are. In his mind, he's better than you, stronger than you, and bigger than you. So love playing with him, and I've been saying that since I got here. He's probably one of my favorite people to watch play football here. So.
What's the most impressive thing you've seen either live or go back and watch a film of him doing?
I would say his blocking is like really, really impressive just because of his size. And his will to make and finish those blocks it's just incredible. So
that Stanford pancake kind of the play that
one of them. Yes.
Going back to the crowd stuff here, you talked about kind of only noticing the booing. How do you compartmentalize that when you guys are, you know, trying to catch up, tie the game, take the lead, and do your job when it's something that, I mean, could be a distraction?
I mean, just focusing on what you need to focus on. And they shouldn't be a focus if we have a game to play. So I'm not really worrying about it too much.
Anthony Brown, Duck quarterback, answering some tough questions there, and I thought that he answered them well.
Yeah, and one thing that really stood out to me from that interview and from other interviews that we'll get to later, it seems like the offensive players are really close with each other. They're really friendly, and you know, Travis Dye has nothing but good things to say about Anthony Brown, who has really good things to say about Jalen Red. It just seems like they're all in sync, and it seems like they all have each other's backs.
Yeah, speaking of Jalen Red, he's our graduated Duck, brought to you by Graduate Hotel. That's coming up next. Stick with us. Slocum Center Minute, then we're going to hear from Jalen Red on the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield.
Welcome to the Slocum Center Minute. Slocum Center physicians are located here in Eugene and are the official orthopedic team physicians for your beloved Oregon Ducks. With me today, I have Dr. Jason Tavakolian, who is an orthopedic surgeon specializing in hand surgery and is a board member for the Slocum Foundation. Dr. Tavakolian, the doctors and the staff at Slocum are so involved at the U of O and in our local community. Can you tell me a little bit about Slocum's nonprofit foundation?
The foundation has been active for the past 25 years. We have a number of past and ongoing projects with goals that range from preventing disability to enhancing athletic performance to restoring function and quality of life.
Dr. Tavakolian, what types of activities does the foundation support?
We conduct a number of research studies in partnership with the U of O. We're also engaged with programs that directly benefit our community's youth. For example, we have helped to develop an after-school program in partnership with KidSports to encourage physical literacy. That program provides children with the tools necessary to be healthy and active through adolescence and into adulthood. Also, annually, we award college scholarships to talented graduating seniors who are planning to pursue careers in healthcare. And of course, being so close to Autzen, we turn our parking lot over to local high schools on game days. Parking fees generate almost $30,000 in revenue to support the school's athletic programs.
Well, as close as we are to Autzen Stadium, I might have found a new place to park. Dr. Tavakolian, thanks for being with us today. This was the Slocum Center Minute, brought to you by Slocum Center for Orthopedics and Sports Medicine, the official orthopedic sports medicine and team physicians for University of Oregon Athletics since 1967.
As my family continued to grow, I realized I'd have to replace my beloved Jeep with something that has, well, more seats. I'm Jason Hines, Country Financial Rep and father of seven. Whether you're upgrading from your sporty ride with no room for a car seat or finally replacing your well-loved beater that still has a cassette player, you'll want the right protection for your new car. Work with a Country Financial Rep like me and get the protection you need at a price you can afford. Learn more at TakeSimpleSteps.com or contact a local country representative.
What's with Mountain Dew? Mountain Dew is like a zipline of incredible flavor directly into your brain. Mountain Dew is like getting punched in the mouth with pure neon refreshment that creates a neural explosion, sending flavor shards of electric brain pulses into your very core of being. Okay, maybe that's a little over the top, but you get the idea. The fact is, the mind-bending challenge of describing the taste of Mountain Dew is way harder than just experiencing it. That, of course, is easy. Just grab an ice-cold Dew, crack it open, and toss them back. Mountain Dew. Do the Dew.
Duck Insider, your home for the latest news on Oregon athletics on the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield.
It's 4 a.m., Monday, and you're literally sucking baby snot through a tube because she's congested. Man, that's love. And if you love her that much, love her enough to make sure she's buckled in the right car seat. To make sure your child's in the right seat for their age and size, visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Show them you love them. Keep them safe. Visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
America, your children have an amazing superpower. They can help save lives by not having play dates. That's right. By replacing get-togethers with virtual play dates and video chats, they can help slow the evil spread of germs. And if your superheroes do go outside, make sure they continue their superhero wing by staying 6 feet away from others to protect everyone in America land. Find out more at coronavirus.gov. A message from the CDC and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Duck Insider, presented by On Point Community Credit Union. Joey Mack joined by Sean McPherson here today. And, you know, one of the things that I love doing every week is our Graduated Duck, brought to you by Graduate Eugene, the smartest place to stay for Oregon football fans in downtown Eugene. Just makes sense, right? A Graduated Duck because of Graduate Hotel, that's their whole concept, is like you get to come back to a college town. Maybe you're visiting your alma mater. That's the whole point of Graduate Hotel. And, well, Jalen Redd is our Graduated Duck this week. He already has his bachelor's degree in... Oh, man, what a catch did he make on that great throw from Anthony Brown to really win the game for the Ducks against Cal. That might have been the best throw that AB had all year, and Jalen Redd's made plays like that, Sean, all season long.
Yeah, I was just about to mention the Arizona play that he broke. So now a couple of really electric touchdowns at Autzen Stadium this year, and I look to him to do more stuff this year. And, you know, people look at the touchdowns, but what gets overlooked often is the blocking, and that's exactly what Anthony Brown said yesterday. He described them as having a heart the size of Andre the Giant, because what he lacks in size, he makes up with heart and effort, and the blocking is something that oftentimes goes unnoticed, not only with Jalen Redd, but that entire wide receiver room.
A former running back and then made the transition to wide receiver, and he has been really, really good for the Ducks and has already gotten the ultimate goal, checked off his to-do list. He's got his bachelor's degree. Jalen Redd, our Graduated Duck, brought to you by Graduate Eugene, the smartest place to stay for Oregon football fans. And speaking of Jalen Redd, got a chance to catch up with the Oregon wide receiver earlier this week, talking about a number of different topics. Here's Jalen Redd.
What was your reaction in the moment to hearing the crowd boo and chant some things? Really,
I just wanted to keep him quiet. I didn't really like that energy. You know what I mean? We always want to keep positive vibes. I love my QB. Even if he makes mistakes, it is what it is. I think he can overcome whatever. So when it's kind of we in our place and everybody around us, this kind of environment, and we're supposed to be at home, it's kind of like, I wouldn't say disrespectful, but I feel bad. I almost feel bad for the man. You know what I mean? So it's like, at the same time, we all a team. You got to lift us up. So that's really what I just try to do.
Isn't that frustrating, though, knowing like you're 5-1, you're a top 10 team, you control your guys' destiny to win the league, and yet you're hearing that stuff at home?
Definitely. It's definitely frustrating. I mean, it's frustrating for sure. I don't even know how to imagine it, but it's, man, the best I can do is control what I can control, because at the end of the day, nothing really matters besides the people inside those white lines when it's game day, you know what I mean? So that's all we control, and that's all we're going to continue to control.
Talking to you and so many guys this season, you guys rave about Anthony's leadership, what he does to practice everything, and then that's something that fans don't necessarily see. What can you say to them to kind of articulate why you guys are so supportive of Anthony?
Basically just how he talks to us on the practice one. So as far as when he makes mistakes on the practice field, he comes to us and presses us to help him correct it even faster than so those when game days come, he doesn't have those. And even though it may happen, it's a game, but really for me, it's just the way he carries himself. You know what I mean? We do 2 minutes versus RD, or when he makes mistakes in practice, just the way he brings dudes up on film, extra days, we got days off, he want to come up here and watch film and just perfect different things. It's just different elements in his game and his personality that I appreciate.
We know that UCLA is really good at stuffing the run, so maybe we'll see a little more passing from you guys. What are you seeing from their pass defense on film?
I see their pass defense. I think they're an elite team in the run game and the pass game. I feel like we're going to have to come and bring our best, and we're going to have to respect them in the pass game and be as technically sound as we can, because we're going to have to be.
Kevin, a lot of people have said you have, like, the biggest heart on this team, and your desire to win is just unmatched. Where does that come from? Because it doesn't really matter what you do, whether it's catching a pass, blocking, running the football. You find ways to succeed even though you don't have the tall measurables of a receiver.
I think it just has something to do with something. All my life I've been small. All my life it's been a size thing for me, so... As far as me playing, I played DB and receiver. I was a short DB, and I'm a little running back. So, therefore, I had to make my money somewhere. I got to do what I got to do. So, right now, I'm a small receiver. When it's a big dude out there, small dude, I got to treat everybody like they the same. You know what I mean? They're going to treat me like I'm the same, or they're going to look at me like I'm small. So, I can't come at people. I just got to come at everybody with the intent that they're overlooking me. So, and that's just how I play the game.
Anthony called your pancake block in Stanford one of the best plays he's ever seen. What's that feeling like when you take on a guy that's significantly bigger than you and put him on his back?
For me, I just, when it comes to blocking, I just like to put my face on people. So it's like whenever I feel like I could put my face and put my hands on you, I like that part of the game, that physical. I like looking at a dude after I hit him. So whenever that type of stuff happens, man, I just appreciate the opportunity.
Coming in a little late, but what you guys were able to do, especially down the stretch there in the fourth quarter with Anthony, is stabilizing force of quarterback. Looking at what you guys seem to, you know, think about him in the sense that, like, that's your guy and the one you're going to war with. Do you feel like that's an overlooked quality that people maybe don't talk about enough when they're talking about a kid like Anthony?
His quality as a leader. Can you repeat the question?
As a leader, do you feel like when people outside are talking about him, definitely, do you feel like that's overlooked?
Definitely. I definitely think some of the outside conversations that go on may they may talk to him and make him seem like his leadership qualities aren't as high as they are, but I see a whole different side of this game. I'm actually in this circle, so the guy that I see is a whole different guy. Like I said, he texts us, all the receivers, all the tight end, make sure we all together, extra catches before practice, after practice. It's just different elite things that he do as a vet quarterback that I just appreciate to the fullest. Not everybody's going to see that, but I understand it. But just because he makes mistakes, he's a quarterback, you know what I mean? He has the highest position, all the eyes is on him, so it is what it is.
You said it, Sean, there, that's a together unit right there.
Right, and I'm really intrigued to watch Jalen Redd. I think this is a big game for him because he's from SoCal, and if you remember a couple of years ago when the Ducks played in the 2020 Rose Bowl, 2019 season, Jalen Redd didn't end up making that trip, so I'm sure he's inside really excited to play inside that stadium and play against a team like UCLA and to continue on the momentum of the game he had last week.
No doubt. Sean McPherson joining us. When we come back, he talked with Stephen Jones. That's how we're going to finish up the show after this on the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield.
Dear past, present, and future football watchers, football is back! So consider this your official excuse for always putting football watching first, courtesy of Pepsi. That haircut appointment? Seeing the in-laws for the first time in ages?
It's been so long!
Nope, sorry, Susan, not if it's on Sunday. Long story short, after the year we've all had, we think you could use a little football watching. So crack open a Pepsi and cheer your football watching face off. With love, Pepsi. Made for football watching. That's what I like.
From the weight room to the classroom, on the field and off it, OnPoint proudly supports University of Oregon athletics because student athletes do so much more than bring us pride on game day. They bring our entire community together in Eugene and all across Oregon. So whether you're watching the game in the stadium, at home, or at your favorite local business, their success makes all of us stronger. OnPoint Community Credit Union. Join in. OnPointCU.com. Federally insured by NCUA. Equal housing opportunity.
This is Duck Insider. Duck Insider on the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield.
When might you be buzzed? When you suddenly love everything.
You guys, I love this song.
I love these nachos.
I love our kickball league. Ugh! I love this guy.
What's your name?
You know what I'd love?
A ride when it's time to head out.
If you see a buzzed warning sign, call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
I love your car. Is this real leather?
Hey, so what's a great way to spread awareness that driving high is illegal everywhere? A catchy song, of course.
You can run, or you can't drive high. You can run, but you can't drive high.
Friendly reminder, don't drive high. If you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Back on Nugget Sider, presented by On Point Community Credit Union. Earlier, Sean McPherson got the chance to talk with Stephen Jones. Just you and him, right?
Just me and him.
All right. Stephen Jones and Sean McPherson.
What do you see out of UCLA this weekend?
They're a very tough opponent. I'm excited to get after them. You know, our main goal is just to go 1-0, dominate the line of scrimmage. So it's going to be a tough fight. I'm excited.
What do you see out of their defensive line in particular?
Really twitchy guys. A lot of them bring a lot of juice, a lot of effort. They fly to the ball, very strong, very athletic. We just got to do our job, make sure we're on our assignments and our physicality is through the roof.
So your guys' offensive line this year, it's been kind of mixing in a lot of different guys. What's it like, you know, just depth-wise of just chemistry-wise, I guess I should say, of constantly playing with different people?
I think our chemistry-wise, since we're all really a tight-knit group, whenever someone comes in, we just know we got to be able to communicate with whoever's next to us and whoever lines up across from us. So when we have a bunch of guys rotating, I feel like it's good for all of us, one, because then that's more film for each one of us to actually get in there and get some playing time. And two, you know how the partner next to you works. So you know whenever he's in, okay, this is how I'm going to do my blocks whenever I'm working with him. Or if a new guy comes in, okay, this is what we're going to do whenever he comes in. So the rotation part, it hasn't really affected us because we've already been working together for this whole entire year. So it just is as it is.
So when a player like Alex Forsythe is out last minute, how does that affect the offensive line and just your guys' group ahead of a game like Stanford?
Our biggest memo that we'd be saying in the O-line room is next man up, because offensive line play and defensive line play is a physical sport. People are going to get hurt. People are going to get injured. So that means that if a dude goes down, you better be ready to get in there. And as you can see last week, I feel like we did a really good job handling that when Alex couldn't play. We just threw Ryan at center, and then we just went from there. So I'm excited, though, if Alex plays this week, which I think he will, we're just going to, whoever's in there, get to work and get after the UCLA. So
I know a big thing with Coach Mirabal is having all of his offensive linemen pretty much know every single position. Is that something that applies to you as well?
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We play every position. So
if you were asked to be played at guard or center, do you feel like you could be ready in a game like this?
Realistically, I haven't really worked center since I've been here, but they throw me, they have me at guard, they have me at tackle, whichever side it is they need me, I'm just ready to put my hand down and get to work. So
when a guy like CJ Verdell goes out for the year, now it's going to be Travis Dye's main workload. Does that change anything, like kind of like the style of the runner that you guys are blocking for? I know Dye was getting a lot of playing time beforehand, but does that change anything for you guys now that Verdell's out?
You know, it's sad. It's sad to see him go out and lose his season. But like I said before, it's next man up. So whoever's back there running the rock, I just know I'm going to block my butt off and do whatever I can to make sure he spits out of there and he gets into that end zone. So with Travis back there, I mean, we've been working with Travis since I first got here. Me and him are in the same class. So knowing he's back there, I'm still confident in whoever's running that ball. He's going to know where the holes are at, and he's going to hit them. So
a question about the team as a whole. As road games this year, you guys are 1-1 so far. You guys went to Columbus, were able to get the victory, and then Stanford, you guys fell in the final minutes of that game, or in overtime, I guess I should say. It's a younger team. How do you feel about?
Well, we got to the very, very end, Sean.
What did he say to answer that question? I don't remember. I don't remember.
Sean McPherson, thanks for being here, buddy.
Appreciate it.
Tomorrow, early show, 11 a.m. to noon, if you watch the show and listen live, we're going to make picks. Jorgie's in first place.
Jill, why don't you tell the class what you did this weekend?
Well, my dad and I went in search of some magical minnows and found a zillion of them in the stream from our lookout rock. Then my sister and I escaped from an evil slug king and went back to my super twig fort for safety. Then we told stories till it got dark, and the Big Dipper led us all the way home.
Wow. Where were you, Jill?
We went to the forest. It's not that far away.
Ask your parents to take you and your friends to the forest this week. It's closer than you think. Check out discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
If a natural disaster comes knocking, how prepared is your family? You can't just close the door on earthquakes, floods, or hurricanes and hope they go away. That's why it's important to make a plan now. Ready.gov/plan has the tools and tips you need to prepare your family for an emergency. So if disaster shows up at your doorstep, you'll be ready. Visit ready.gov/plan and make a plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it. Navigating without a compass, eyes waiting, started to wonder. Metamorphosis, the loss of who you thought you was.
When your kid can't find the language, help them find the lyrics. Listen to the Sound It Out album and get tips and tools to start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
Hey, Dad, how do airplanes fly? What's in this box? Is this tree good for climbing? How are babies made? What does this thing do?
Kids are curious about everything, including guns. Talking to them about gun safety in your home is a good first step, but you can do more. Always keep your guns locked, unloaded, and stored separately from ammunition. Safe gun storage saves lives. Learn how to make your home safer at nfamilyfire.org. That's nfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by nfamily fire, Brady, and the Ad Council.
You've been listening to Doc Insider on the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield, presented by On Point Community Credit Union. Better banking, local solutions. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation of the Oregon Sports Network.